This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Patriots wrap up minicamp. Bruins done. We take a look back at the Boston Bruins season, and we check in on the Boston Red Sox, as well as a couple former Fisher Cats conversations with Bo Bichette, as well as Vladimir Guerrero Jr., coming up here on the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Of course, Patriots season much anticipated at this point. We are still a little under 3 months away for kickoff of the 2021 season. The Patriots had minicamp after their organized team activities. That minicamp came to a close this Wednesday. I talked with Cam Newton about how things were going, getting prepared for this season.
Hey, Cam, hope all is well with you. How would you describe your mindset going into this season? I mean, you've mentioned, you know, you feel like you have something to prove, you're ready to compete. How would you describe your overall mindset about playing, but also kind of being a part of New England, part of the Boston culture?
I don't understand what you're at. Like, it's a broad question.
Just your, like, what are you hoping to accomplish this year? You're coming in, you know, feeling like you have something to accomplish. Do you have that chip on your shoulder? And also, you know, being a part of the community a little bit more, which is something you mentioned missed last year.
What would make you think I don't have a chip on my shoulder?
You usually do. So do you feel like you have something to prove basically going into, you know, this year, more so than usual?
Double duh. Like, yeah. I mean, it's only 32 guys in the world that could say that they're a starting quarterback in this league. And, you know, I'm not going to get too personal, and I'm not going to get, you know, too, where I have a job and responsibility to myself, to hold myself to a standard that I know I have to play at. And it's going to come with proper preparation. And that's what it's coming down to. It's going to come down to comfort of understanding the system, my faults, my bads. I'm going to get them next time. Those are slowly but surely being flushed out of my vernacular. And just the expectations of getting back to the standard of the Patriot way is important for me to uphold. So yeah, that's the standard. As far as, you know, philanthropic initiatives, I do plan on, you know what I'm saying, doing something. I have to, you know, kind of regroup with my foundation's teams and, you know, find a way how we can make a big impact in the Boston, Foxborough area. And also still being cognizant of the COVID protocols as well.
Here's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick on Cam. Morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about what you've seen from Cam and your assessment of him both on the field and behind the scenes. And he talked about kind of taking some excuse-type words out of his vernacular, having a determined approach. What has been your assessment of working with him through minicamp?
Yeah, pretty much the same as what it was last year. You know, Cam works hard. He's very professional. Really does a great job of doing what you ask him to do, trying to do what you ask him to do the best that he can, and to run and give leadership to the team, which, you know, he does that on a very consistent basis throughout the day, day to day, hour to hour. It's, you know, he does a good job of all that.
All right, let's move on to the Bruins. Bruins looking ahead at an offseason which they have a number of unrestricted free agents, some key unrestricted free agents such as Taylor Hall, Tuukka Rask, and David Krejci. Bruins looking as well to the marketplace to potentially replace those guys if they leave and perhaps add as well. I talked with Cam Neely about that.
Hey, Cam, hope all is well with you. Do you see the roster as is, along with signing the UFAs, as being, you know, sufficient enough in your view going into next year? In other words, do you feel like this roster can still win a championship, or do you feel like you do need to add something else? Or do you feel like the obviously development of the young players and the UFAs would be enough to compete for a cup?
Yeah, I don't think we can look at the roster now when you lose in the second round and say you can compete for a Stanley Cup. I mean, players that are on the roster that are coming back certainly need to improve. You need to get more out of, the third and fourth line. Even the second line, we didn't get enough out of in that last series. So, I think we have to look at improving our roster to improve our chances to win a cup.
Here's Taylor Hall.
Hey, Taylor, just kind of define what the Boston experience was like for you. And, was it a shock that things ended this quickly?
Yeah, my Boston experience was obviously really good. I think, for both sides, I think it really worked out, especially during the regular season. Obviously, the playoffs, like I said, ended pretty early, for what I was expecting for our team. And I think a lot of guys were expecting the same thing. It's tough to go out like that. I think we had the makings of a really good team, but it's frustrating. You don't want to be here, like I said, this early, but I'm happy to be here. Like I said, the experience for me was great. The city, the fans, the organization as a whole, the guys in the room. For me, it was a chance to really, play with some great players, some great people, and I really enjoyed that.
Also talked with Charlie Coyle.
This was obviously a confident group going into this series, and you had good reason to be confident. At what point did you start to realize, hey, maybe we are going to lose this series? Was it in game six? I mean, at what point did you feel like maybe this is not going in our direction?
When the buzzer hit zero in game six, I think. You never, no matter what the score is, we believe in here. We believe in this group. We've seen this group come back number of times. So it doesn't matter the score. It doesn't matter the game. We're always coming and giving everything we got, and sometimes the team plays better than you. Sometimes they capitalize on opportunities, and that's hockey. It's a lot of bounces here and there, and they played well, but you're never out of the fight. It's what you learn when you first start playing. You play to the final buzzer, and that's how we always go about it.
More Bruins postmortem coming up next week as I talk with Matt Grzelcyk and Brandon Carlo. Now to the Red Sox, and really the majority of the conversation around baseball at this point has been around spider tack, the sticky substance that has been banned by baseball, in addition to a number of other things that pitchers were using in order to gain a better grip, such as suntan lotion and other items as well. Baseball is going to come down hard on pitchers beginning on Monday, they say, checking starting pitchers when they come into the game and start, and also when they leave, and also checking relievers once they leave as well. Umpires slated to do that. I talked with J.D. Martinez on the effect that he feels that pitchers using these substances has had on the game. Hey, J.D., apologize if you've been asked about this before, but you've talked before about the way that pitching has changed, the game, launch angles, et cetera, the, 12 to 6 versus east to west. What role do you feel that substances, may have played in the game over the last decade, just in kind of changing everything from the hitters reacting and that type of a perspective?
A huge role. I mean, kind of see it in the last 2 years. They're taught that throw the ball at the top of the zone with your stuff and let it play, that's where you have the most action on it. That's where you get the most ride, so you get the most spin, and that's what guys do, and it benefits all pitches, everything but a changeup pretty much, or a sinker, so you got those plus pitches, and you turn an average pitcher you give him two plus pitches, a guy that's he's got a decent fastball and a decent breaking ball. Now all of a sudden you help both those pitches out and you tell him to literally locate it at the top. And it's kind of what the whole league has done, and the hitting has taken a hit for it. And I think that's why, you see guys all around the league too, getting hit in the head. How many guys have we gotten hit in the head this year? We had Kike get hit in the head, last week or something? It's just you have a lot more misses up now in the zone, and it's just dangerous, So, I don't know. I think we'll see what happens, now that it's kind of getting taken away, and it's going to be more balanced, I think.
How do you think it plays out from a hitter's perspective? Do you think we go back to an east-west? Is it harder for the pitchers to execute?
I think it goes back to pitching, actually learning how to pitch and actually locating pitches. I mean, if you look around the league, it's literally catcher sits up in the middle of the plate, puts one finger down and stands up or down and says, throw the ball up here, throw the ball down here. I mean, you look at history. When does that ever happen? Where the catcher just sits up right in the middle of the plate and throw it as hard as you can and let your stuff play, you know, because now you could throw as hard as you can and you actually have control and you can actually throw it over the plate versus before when you threw it as hard as you can, you didn't know where it went. So you had to back down, you know. It just leads to everyone throwing 98 to 100 with wipeout stuff. You know, it's just, to me, it's one of those things that they're, like I said before, there was a couple guys that did it. And now it's league wide and it's gone out of control.
Red Sox in Kansas City this weekend for a battle with the Royals. Sox, of course, have been one of the best teams in baseball throughout the course of this season, and they look to continue that trend, obviously. I talked with Kike Hernandez, who's played center, second, and led off for the Red Sox for the majority of their games this year. Of course, he was a part of the Los Angeles Dodgers team that won championship last year and, of course, lost to the Red Sox in 2018 as well. In-person interviews back in style at Fenway Park, as media, myself included, allowed to talk to players prior to contests on the field. Here is a conversation with Kike Hernandez. Joined by Kike Hernandez, and in your view, what makes this team so special? What has stood out to you so far about the way that these guys come together?
I mean, we have a really good team. You look at the roster, we have a lot of really good baseball players. Maybe we don't have like a bunch of superstars, but I mean, good baseball players find a way to win ball games, and that's what we've been doing.
Do you feel like some of these guys in this team are actually superstars, but for whatever reason, despite this market, have flown under the radar? Take Bogarts as an example. Yeah. Like, he feels like a bona fide superstar. Why do you think he has not gotten that cred?
That's a good question. I don't know. MLB decides to market whoever they want, and whenever they stick with a guy, that's who they're going to market, and they're going to forget about the rest. I don't know. But not just Bogey, but I think Devers. I think both of them are probably in the top five. Best at their position, and I mean, we have one of the best left sides in the infield, and we probably have the best designated hitter in baseball as well. So, you know, we have some really good talent, and then we have some other guys to back them up. And you know, so far I've been really impressed about those two guys specifically, because you know, being in the National League West for the past 6 years, you don't really get to watch these guys play that much, and especially on a daily basis. And I mean, they are as complete hitters as they come.
What stood out to you, too, about the versatility of the group? Obviously, that's something that you do really well, but whether it's Hunter, Alex, Marwin, it seems that the ability to move around is a big part of this group. And does that allow for more flexibility, you think, for Alex? But is it also difficult for you guys because you are moving around?
No, it's not difficult. You look at the guys that are moving around and you look at their track record. We've been doing it for a long time now. I mean, me, Marwin, Danny, we've been doing it for a long time now. And then Doogie and Hunter, they just, you know, they switch back and forth, just two spots, which isn't that much different. But, yeah, that's what being a, having a lot of really good ball players comes into play. And I think if you're a really good ball player, you can play wherever on the field. And we have a few of those guys, and it allows Alex a little more flexibility when it comes to giving guys days off and all that, and you know, constructing the lineup.
Final thing, has this felt like home to you yet, now with the fans coming back and being accustomed here for a couple of months, or you still find yourself kind of acclimating to making this feel like a place that's comfortable here all around?
No, I mean, I'm comfortable here. Since day one, I felt like I got in. I was in one of the new guys, but I didn't feel one of the new guys. That's as far as the clubhouse. And first few weeks of the season were a little uncomfortable as far as the weather. It's a little different than what I'm used to, but you know, it's starting to warm up, so it's starting to feel pretty good. But no, I mean, I like this. You know, from the moment you walk into the stadium, you get that all that sense of history and tradition and all that, and it's a responsibility, a huge responsibility to put this jersey on. And so far, I'm enjoying every bit of it.
Kike Hernandez right there. Four-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays ended up in a split for the Red Sox, and we got to watch three former New Hampshire Fisher Cats do some damage against the Red Sox. Three individuals who played together in the 2018 season, all sons of former big leaguers, two Hall of Famers in that mix as well. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is having as good a year as anybody in the batter's box in baseball, who we're going to hear from in just a moment. Also, Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio. I talked with Bo, had some big homers against the Red Sox this past weekend.
Just describe what the year has been like for you so far. You know, what are you trying to work on? It seems like there's been some big moments, but perhaps, you know, the consistency is something you're still trying to find?
I feel a lot better now, but definitely inconsistent this year, and lots of ups and downs, high ups and low downs, so just trying to find the consistency.
I don't want to make excuses, but you guys have been in a difficult situation, obviously. Everybody's been dealing with COVID, but you've been moving about. You're in Dunedin. That was the home ballpark for a while now. Now Buffalo. Has that kind of instability been difficult in weighing on guys?
I don't think so. I think maybe last year a little bit, but this year, no. I think we're all prepared for it, so just kind of the norm now.
I want to see what Vladdy's been doing this year, and everybody's obviously expected this of him. Last year, it was not where he wanted to be. Have you noticed anything specific about him? He's talked a lot about his work and not being in shape, being in better shape's an important part, but he's talked more about the work. What have you noticed different from this year as compared to last year?
Yeah, I think just for him, I think putting in the work allows you to be confident when you go out on the field. So I think he's done a great job of that, obviously. But, he believes in himself every time he steps in the box. He knows he's better than the guy on the mound, which is a really powerful thing. And the things that he's doing is something that I always knew that he was capable of. And, I think he's showing the type of hitter he can be. I think he's showing the type of hitter that he is.
That seems to always have been a big piece with you. Like, there's always been that confidence, and Cav as well. How important is that, and is that something that you've always had? Have you had moments where the confidence has kind of waned a little bit, or have you always been able to trust no matter what the situation is, I'm going to work my way through this, and my talent and ability is going to shine?
I think that everybody struggles with a lack of confidence at times. I think the best can deal with that fear of failure or whatever it is better than the next, so I think my confidence just comes from the work that I put in, knowing that, that kind of the work that you put in, the talent that I have, the abilities God gave me, that kind of stuff is going to pay off in the end. So that's where my confidence comes from.
We talked in the spring of 2020 before COVID set in, and you were confident about that group and that you were going to be ahead of schedule and this team was going to be competitive for the division and competitive for a playoff spot. And obviously you guys were able to achieve that. Is there a feeling that you guys are, ahead of schedule in terms of where this group is, and or do you feel like, hey, Springer's come in where he's going to be coming back, this group is pretty much where it should be at this point in time, a competitive ball club in the AL East?
Yeah, I definitely don't think we're ahead of schedule. I think that we expect to compete. I think we expect to be better than we are right now, so I think we've played well. I think we've competed well against some pretty good teams this year so far. We've had a tough schedule, so I like where we're at, and we'll just continue to battle.
And here is a conversation with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. via his interpreter.
Vladdy, obviously this has been an MVP caliber season for you. What have been some of the big reasons why you think that things have gone so well for you this year?
Just being, like I always say, just being here early, do my routine, trusting myself, trusting my teammate, my coaches. I'm just keep doing what I'm doing.
There's been a lot of discussion about the type of shape that you're in this year, and that's been a big factor in what's allowed for you to have success. Do you see it that way, or has it been more just this is kind of your destiny, so to speak, and it was a matter of time to get into this point?
I mean, basically, I think not just that I lose a lot of weight. I mean, like I always say, I work very, very hard in the off season, and it pretty much is just paying off right now.
Was there any doubt that, particularly last year, was there any doubt that this type of a season was going to come? Obviously, even the best players struggle with confidence at points in time. Was there ever a point where you were struggling to the point like, is this going to happen for me?
Never doubt on myself. I mean, I always trust on myself. Like I said, I trust my teammate, trust my coaches. I just work very, very, very hard, but never doubt on myself.
What, in your view, are the biggest parts of your approach that allow for you to have such a success? Like, you obviously understand, you know, the game to a large degree, but is there something specific in your approach that you think allows for you to have success, whether it's reading the pitcher, the type of work you put in before the game? What do you point to?
Definitely the work that I put in before the games with my hitting coaches, Guillermo Martinez and Dave Hodgins. I mean, we came here early. We always do. We go about our routine. And, I mean, it has to be that. And obviously, God. I mean, I want to thank God for that, my teammates, everybody that trusted me for the way I'm feeling and I'm doing right now.
A lot of players will push back on being a home run hitter. They'll say, you know what, I want to be a line drive hitter. I want to spray the ball to all fields. Do you embrace being a home run hitter? Is that something that you want to be known as, a guy that can lead the league in home runs like you are now?
To be honest with you, I never think about homers. The only thing in my mind when I go out there is just to try to put a solid contact, hit the ball in front, and trying to do the much I can. If the ball goes out, it goes out.
Last thing is just on the trajectory of this team. Obviously, you guys have been dealing with some injuries. Springer's been out the whole year. Do you like where this team is headed, the moves in the offseason, and also the challenge of playing in this division where the Red Sox are reloaded, again, the Yankees, and obviously the Rays are at the top of things?
I mean, like I say, I mean everything has its ups and downs. I mean, we're going to go out there and we're going to continue competing. I know we have a good team. I mean, we're never going to put our heads down. We're going to keep working very hard as a team. And then whenever we get everybody back, I think we're in a good position to keep playing very good. And we'll see what happens.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Now Red Sox manager Alex Cora on the impact of Guerrero Jr., Bichette, and Biggio on the game and on the Blue Jays, and also two of his stars being recognized by fans. The leading vote getters at shortstop and third base, respectively, are Xander Bogaerts as well as Rafael Devers.
Alex, how good are those three guys for the game as well, with the type of the way that they play, the flair? They're kind of, you know, all different in their different approaches. Do you think that that's also pretty advantageous?
It's great. Just, you know, for the franchise, obviously, and the city and the country up there, you know, they're missing something right now, but they will be able to see them at one point, hopefully this season or whenever it is, right? They're an attraction, you know. If you live in Toronto, you have to buy season tickets, you know, because those guys, they're fun to watch. There's something special that might happen on a daily basis, and you know, they're really good. Just the athletes and the three of them, like I said, they're different, right? You know, Biggio, very quiet and with a different approach, but he can play everywhere. Bichette, just explosive, and he's not afraid to swing hard. I think he learned that from his dad. And then the other guy, he's the total opposite of his dad approach-wise. You know, his dad, you know, whatever you throw at him, he'll swing, you know, even if it bounces. This kid, you gotta throw strikes against him, and when he's in the zone, he puts good swings on it. One thing that I've been impressed is the defense of Vladdy. He's been really good at first base. I didn't see that coming a few years ago, but obviously, just like our guy, right? You put yourself in a good in a good spot physically, and good things are gonna happen. They made a decision to play him at first base. And he's been solid. He's been really good. Like I said, you know, it's just whatever X amount of games, it's not fun because you got to prepare for a great group for that team. But for the game, it's amazing. It's great. It's great.
Xander, leading vote getter at short, and Rafi at third. You've talked about them not getting the recognition that perhaps they've deserved across the big leagues. What does it mean to you, do you think, to them, to see that recognition coming?
I mean, that we got all the islands and Netherlands voting for them too. You know, we're doing a good job. Now, I just saw the voting and, you know, like the numbers, and people are getting it right. I do believe these two guys, especially with the way we're playing and the expectations coming into the season from the outside world, I think they got the attention right away, right? Because they're putting a team that quote unquote, wasn't going to be in this position, and they're a big part of what we're doing right now.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Red Sox in Kansas City this weekend to take on the Royals. Welcome into the show right now. Christian Arroyo joining us via the road as Arroyo, second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Three huge hits in the past week, including a grand slam, which put the Sox over the top in their last game on Wednesday. Also, big three-run home runs against the Astros last Thursday and a big solo shot to tie the game against the Blue Jays last Friday night. Christian, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate being with us. So let's start off with this. What makes this team click in your view? It seems like there's a bunch of different personalities, whether it's up and down the lineup of the pitching staff, and you guys all come together and seem to enjoy one another a lot. How big of a role does that play?
I think that's the biggest thing, to be honest. At the end of the day, I think really good teams have really good team camaraderie and enjoy themselves in the locker room, the clubhouse and stuff. So. You know, everyone gets along well. We're all rooting for each other. And it seems like when one guy doesn't get something done, it seems like we have another guy to pick him up. So, you know, we're playing really good baseball right now, and that's all we can ask for. And, you know, the spirits are up, moods are up, and, you know, it's been really fun.
Yeah, last year, it seemed like this was going to be a good fit for you, but obviously it was hard to tell in the shortened season and the COVID environment, the limited sample size. But you've continued to impress this year with a consistent approach, both in the batter's box, but also out in the field. Why do you feel like this has clicked, and has the environment, the guys that you've been around, played a role in that and how they carry themselves? And because it seems like it's something that has fit perfectly.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that their coaching staff has been so helpful in taking me in. When I first got over here, you know, obviously the way that I got over here probably wasn't the most glorious. It wasn't a big trade or anything. And I feel like sometimes in your own mind, you can kind of put a little bit of a limit on yourself when you go through something like that. So they were reiterated to me. You know, my abilities, and they just wanted to kind of get myself out of my own shell, I guess you could call it. And just get back to playing, you know, me just playing baseball, my type of baseball, which is exactly what we're seeing, and you know, making the plays and trying to grind out at bats and just trying to help the team win whichever way I can. So, you know, when I got over here last year, it was just a lot of talking and almost reinventing my mental side, mm-hmm. my mental approach to it. And, you know, it's paid dividends so far. So it's been good.
Yeah, that's a really key point because, as you mentioned, you know, you were former first-round draft choice, bounced around mm-hmm. a little bit, and mm-hmm. you were coming in, you know, in a spot where you were kind of down, so to speak, and they mm-hmm. played to your potential as opposed to saying, okay, this is a guy that might be a triple-A guy and he's just going to mm-hmm. maybe fill some spots. But they really identified, you know, Haim on down, that you could be a starting second baseman and that the potential still existed for you to do so. Did you feel that way coming in, and did you need to get built up? And who are the key people that built you back up from a mental standpoint so that the ability matched the confidence?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty loaded question, just given that it's not really just one person. You know, it's not even really like a group. It's in some way, shape, or form, it's a plethora of people, whether it's teammates, whether it's, you know, mental skills coach, whether it's hitting coaches, whether it's infielding coaches, managers, family, friends. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I can't even begin to express the amount of gratitude that I have for the people that have helped me, not only in that point in my career, but also to this day and even before then. So, you know, it's a testament to the saying of it takes an army, and it, for my case, you know, it did and it does. And, you know, I appreciate those things. I appreciate those relationships. It's kind of given me a new perspective on how this game is played and how this game is played day to day, and not even day to day, but just everything, you know, lots of just life in general. And that's just kind of growing up. So it was a big grow up moment for me. And I was happy I went through it because it only made me better and made me appreciate all the success. And then it makes you appreciate your failures as well.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah, you had a couple big hits for the Red Sox back in the last homestand against the Astros mm-hmm. and the Blue Jays, two big three-run home runs that helped this ball club. And mm-hmm. I'm curious as to how you go about putting yourself in a position to have success in the batter's box, because you seem like you consistently have good at-bats. You hit line mm-hmm. drives. How do you put yourself in a spot where you're able to, you know, identify and hit a line drive on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from my pre-work, pre-game routine work. You know, just even when I get into the stadium, a lot of it is about this. I mean, it gets talked about a lot, but it took me a little bit to truly understand. But it's all about that process of how. You know, I've been reading a couple books about high-level elite athletes and just about hitting and stuff. It kind of gets you locked in for the game. And the thing is for me, is I always kind of had a process, but I didn't really understand what my process was. And my process before was a process oriented to just get results, as opposed to process that's going to get you to a position that might hinder your results. Because at the end of the day, I mean, hitting a baseball is very hard, and it's not, it's a game of failure. And it's also a situation of, it's not something where you can go in and expect results. You can't go up to the plate. I mean, you can sometimes when you're feeling really good, but you can't just go up to the plate and go, I'm going to get a hit here, or I need to get a hit here, or I have to get a hit here. Because the thing is you can put a perfect swing on a pitch and it doesn't work out. You put a terrible swing on a pitch and it works out. So it's about controlling things you can control and controlling, you know, your mindset and just staying consistent. And all that that's done is allowed me to, whether, you know, I don't play one day and then I play the other, or if I have a couple of days where I don't play or something, all it does is it keeps me locked in for that time being. And then when I'm ready and I'm in the game, I'm in a position where I'm comfortable and I'm ready to succeed.
It's Christian Arroyo joining us from Atlanta. Red Sox finish up their series there, move on to Kansas City this weekend. On the fielding side of things, I feel like this is a pretty underrated aspect of your game, and we've seen you hit the ball consistently, but the way you handle the ball around second base, you get a good throw on double play, and seem to have really solid footwork as well. When you look at that side of the game, how much pride do you take in that, and where do you feel like you've grown perhaps on the fielding side?
Yeah, I think from that aspect, I take a lot of pride into it, mainly because I feel like I'm not just playing for myself in that aspect. I'm playing for our guys on the mound, but you're just grinding their butts off every day they get out there. So for me, it's like if I'm in a position where I can, you know, lay out and make a play for a guy, or I can help, you know, ease his stresses a little bit by making a play for him, then that, you know, that's just one of those things that just goes a long way with your staff, but at the same time, it also goes a long way is just being able to feel like you're always in control. You know, there's situations where plays happen, people get sped up, it is what it is, but for me, I try to stay as calm as I can out there and make the plays for my guys in front of me. You know, and the other thing is, too, is I'm always looking forward, because everyone hates making errors. No one likes making errors, obviously. No one likes giving up runs, so in any way that I can help my teammates out, that's all I'm really focused on. So, that's a huge shout out to Carlos, Fabulous, and even working with Ramon in spring training and stuff, and, you know, talking with AC and whatnot, just about getting into different positions and staying consistent. And that's really what it's about. It's the name of this game, staying consistent.
Final thing is, you know, just at what point in time did you get a sense for what this Red Sox team could be? A lot of the guys and Alex identified in spring training, that being the mm-hmm. time where you just started to see the pieces come together, and whether it's mm-hmm. in the rotation, the bullpen, the everyday lineup. It seemed like it was coming together there. But did you need to see, you know, evidence of how it was going to play out? Did it take a couple of months before you knew, or was it kind of an instantaneous thing? Like, this is a good ball club. This is a ball club that can compete in the American League East and perhaps for a championship.
Honestly, the way I looked at it was, we came into spring training, I just saw that our team, we were talented. I mean, if you look at our numbers last year, we always could hit. And, you know, we can really hit up and down the lineup. And our pitching has been really, really, really good this year. So, for me, it was never a question. I kind of think in spring training, I was, like, looking at this roster, looking at our team, and looking at our guys that, we got guys that can move around. We got, you know, guys who've been doing this for a long time. We got, you know, superstars to get everyone. We just have a bunch of really, really good baseball players, and that's what it takes to win ball games. So, you know, the first series was tough against Baltimore, getting swept at home. But I think it was, you know, I think that was honestly the best thing for us, and that was just to come out and, okay, you know, you can't just show up and win games; you got to play them still. So.
That's right.
We went on a nice little, you know, just went on a nice run there, and then we've continued that and just playing good baseball. That's what it's all about.
Christian, thanks a lot. Best of luck. We'll catch up with you at Fenway, all right?
Thank you.
That's Red Sox second baseman Christian Arroyo. This is the Press Pass on KXL. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. We'll look back at the Bruins a little bit here before we hear from Red Sox manager Alex Cora ahead of the big three-game series in Kansas City against the Royals. Big in that, I guess, they're all big. The Bruins dropped the series to the Islanders, which seems like it was a much longer time ago than it actually is, but it's only like 9-10 days ago. And we're going to look back a little bit on that series now, look ahead with the Bruins as well. And certainly their depth on D was challenged with significant injuries. One of those injuries was Brandon Carlo, who went out in Game 3.
Hey, Brandon, hope all is well with you. Butchie, through the course of the year, talked about the loss of Krug and Chara and how you guys were able to sustain it through the course of the regular season with depth. And the real test was going to come in the postseason. Obviously, you know, your depth was tested a lot with your injury and Kevin's. Just your view of how you guys were able to, you know, sustain those two losses on the back end. And do you feel that, you know, the depth played a role in losing to the Islanders?
You know, I think everybody did their part on the back end and up front as well. You know, watching those last couple games, it was tough to not be a part of it. You know, whether it's winning or losing, you just want to be a part of it. And, you know, I'm hopeful that I could have maybe had more influence in just trying to be stepping up in that leadership aspect. I wanted to be on the bench, just encouraging guys. And it's hard when you're away and a little bit disconnected from that. But overall, I think the guys that did step in, you know, they did their part. They did a good job at it. And I'm very proud of everybody on the back end, front end. And I think, yeah, our depth was tested. But, you know, there's certain things that happened in that series that I don't know if every game could have gone either which way just with one little bounce. So it's obviously difficult to not be a part of in those last couple games. But I'm proud of the guys who were there.
Mike Riley was a big addition for the Bruins at the trade deadline, and he looks back on what happened in the series.
Hey, Mike, when you look back at that series, you kind of referenced it a little bit there. Do you feel like, whether it was game two and losing overtime there, or game four, the chance to go up 3-1, do you feel like that's where you guys kind of lost the series, if you will?
Well, obviously game one, we 100% deserved to win that. You could make the case for game two. Obviously, they got a goal at the end of the game, and they're in overtime. That kind of fluke play, and one might have gone off the sticker in that game. But you know, that happens. You know, the Islanders are an opportunistic team, and they you know, you see the Barzal goal late in that one game. He, you know, hits it out of midair, and you know, you could point the finger, big, oh, we, you know, there's, they got some breaks like that off the skates, whatever. But you know, at the end of the day, they got the job done, and we could complain all we want about the refs and you know, them getting some goals off some skates, sticks, whatever. Yeah, it's just a little disappointing for sure. But guys in this group have done this for a long time, and you know, I think we can rebound.
Here's Connor Clifton.
I wanted to ask you about, you know, Brad was talking earlier about some of the games that got away. And you look at obviously the end in game 6 and 5 and so forth, but do you feel that, you know, game 2 and game 4 kind of set a tone in allowing for the Islanders to feel like they were in this series against a team that was maybe better than them?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were in a great spot when we were up 2-1 and game 4 ended up getting away from us. But, you know, they're a really good team. And it was a battle of a series. Yeah, I think, you know, that game 4 would have been huge to win, right? We'd be up 3-1, but that's not how it worked out. And, you know, can't be dwelling on the things that didn't happen. So,
Bruins defenseman Matt Grzelcyk says the team has a bright future.
Hey, Matt, as a part of the, you know, future core of this group, if you will, what do you see with the future of the franchise, and how do you feel, you know, about that future? Obviously, there's some questions about, you know, Krejci and Tuukka and some other guys, but how do you feel that the younger players in this team develop through the course of the season?
I feel great. You know, I think we're so blessed and lucky to have those guys. You know, that they're tremendous leaders. They've been there before. Just how they handle themselves, they're amazing pros, and coming up through the system, they're unbelievable role models for us to try to emulate as best we can, obviously on the ice, but off the ice as well. I think that's such a huge aspect and why this organization has so much success the past few years, because the people that we have and the relationships that we build, I think it directly translates to, you know, our on-ice play. And that's something that I've tried to take note of going forward and try to grow into more of that leadership role the longer I've been here. So, but yeah, those guys, I can't say enough good things about them. They're all unbelievable guys.
Let's check in now with the manager of the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox take on the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City this weekend. Alex, what stood out to you most about the offensive approach in Atlanta? And was there anything, you know, specific that you saw that was advantageous and perhaps it will move forward with you guys?
Besides the weather, you know, it's feeling good for hitters now. You know, it's hot and warm and, you know, humid, and the ball seems like it's traveling better compared to earlier, compared to a few weeks ago. I think we've done a better job controlling the strike zone. Yeah, we will chase, we will swing, but it seems like we've done a better job since that last game against Houston moving forward. And that's very important. You get these guys in the strike zone, get them down in the zone, and you can put good swings on it. And, you know, you should be okay. Another thing that we got going right now, you know, is, you know, we talk about the four guys, but you can add Hunter to the equation. He's been solid since Arlington. He's been hitting the ball the other way with men in scoring position and less than 2 outs. He's taking advantage of certain situations, and he's walking too. So when you got, you know, five guys like that, that, you know, the line will always move. We just need the other guys around them, you know, to do their part. And we felt like in Atlanta, they did. So hopefully we can continue doing that. It's going to be a challenging weekend here weather-wise. So you know, grind up bats, score a lot of runs, and stay hydrated. And if we do that, we should be okay.
Were you always hoping that Hunter was going to kind of grab that job and be that everyday right fielder, or were you prepared to move guys around? Or was that your hope that he would take that?
We knew we were going to give him at-bats against right-handed pitching. That's something he didn't do last year with Tampa. And I do believe that, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, the lefties need to face left-handed pitching, and the righties, for how great they are against lefties, they need right-handed pitching. You know, it keeps you there, it keeps you locked, you know, and you can see the ball. So he's been really good at adjusting, listening to the message, and apply it on the field. We always talk about making contact, going the other way, staying the big part of the field, and he's done it. The other day, he gets jammed against the shift. He gets two RBIs, and you see the quality of the at-bats. They're really, really good. This guy, in spring training, he did a lot of good things. Obviously, off to a good, tough start in the month of April. But since, like I said, since we went to Texas, he's been great. He's been great offensively.